So thankful for all that have come today. And despite of this crazy tropical weather we're getting, we've been getting a lot of rain. And I'm not here to complain at all. But some of you that have very large yards are not maybe as quite as thankful. But maybe you are. Who knows? My wife, I have to catch myself often. I say the garden we planted, but actually it was a garden that Joanna planted. I have to give her credit for it. But I did plow it, thanks to Brother Brock's good strong tiller that was dragging me all over that yard for about a good 30 minutes. But we did get it tilled, and we got us a little garden at the house, and Joanna has planted. And boy, I don't know, how many of you planted a garden this year? How many of you got, okay, all right, maybe a quarter of you. The rest of you, you need to do that next year, okay? We'll still give you some tomatoes maybe if we get any. But honestly, it has been neat to see the garden growing, and it's been good to see the rain coming and the sunshine and the rain, sunshine, rain, sunshine every day. It has been nice. And I said, honey, your garden is looking good. I told her, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is the garden is looking great. But the bad news is, so are the weeds. And then I think she gave me the look, said, yeah, you're going to help me. So we're going to try to get out there and get up some of those weeds. But I tell you what, I was talking to Brother Charles. There's some real spiritual application there. I plowed, Joanna planted, but God's going to give the increase. Amen. And the weeds that come up are our responsibility. And I got to thinking about that. Hey, the weeds that come up in our life as Christians, God says, take care of them and deal with them. And confront them. But that's my garden lesson for this morning. Now to Joshua chapter 14. We do remember today and tomorrow especially that our nation has set aside a day of remembrance, a day of honoring those that have fallen, those that have given their lives in enemy territory, and even here in our own country have given their lives serving our country. And we desperately need to always make it a point to honor them. And I'm thankful our country does. I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning in a subject that is somewhat related to Memorial Day, but not exactly. We remember those that have faithfully served our country and now have gone. And I'm going to talk about somebody that in the Word of God that faithfully served his God left a great testimony for us, and we remember those some things, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. Let's read from our text, Joshua chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. And while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Let's pray together. Father, we do commit this message to you. Lord, we ask you to just take your precious holy word, and by the power of your precious spirit, would you teach us, Lord? Would you impart to us the instructions that we need? And Lord, in only a way that you can, I pray that you would take your truth and apply it to every individual in this room. By the power of your Spirit, I pray that everyone would leave here, Lord, with a truth that they can hang on, moving forward for the cause of Christ. That is my prayer, Lord, and I trust that you will lead us now. And Lord, we'll be thankful and we'll be careful to give you all the glory for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to introduce you to you, as I have read here, the man Caleb. The man Caleb was a faithful warrior of God. He faithfully served his Lord, and we remember him this day and trust that what made him a faithful soldier will make us faithful soldiers of God Almighty as well. You know, today in America, we do reflect upon those that have served our country with their own blood. One of which we think about is like that of Ben L. Solomon. Captain Solomon served our country and served specifically in World War II. Legends and myths have many courageous figures who single-handedly held off entire armies. This story here is similar of Ben L. Solomon, a frontline surgeon in the U.S. Army. Fascinating story. It was probably one of the most courageous stories that's heard of in World War II, and there were many. There were many, but definitely one that stood out. During the Battle of Saipan, he was a surgeon there, and he had an aid station, and it was overrun by a Japanese assault. And during that time, rather than fleeing, Captain Solomon, he stayed at his station. And he grabbed the wounded and those that were there, and he sent them on their way to retreat. And he said, I'll take cover here. I will cover with fire. You get the wounded out of here. And that's what he did. He grabbed an M1 rifle and ordered the wounded to be evacuated while they retreated. Captain Solomon knew his odds of survival, but his selfless act of gallantry helped save dozens of lives. When U.S. soldiers returned the next day to the site where Captain Solomon was found, they found his body slumped over a machine gun, riddled with bullets and bayonet wounds. And in front of his position lined the bodies of 98 Japanese soldiers. This man held his position because he wanted to be a faithful warrior. Did he have to? Maybe, maybe not. He was a surgeon. He had the wounded there that he was giving aid to, but he said, listen, I'm staying. You guys go. I will cover. And he stayed there to the very end. What a story. What an amazing, honorable account of this man's sacrifice that he gave for his country. And what compelled him to do that? It's because he wanted to be a faithful warrior. A faithful soldier of the United States of America. And that he was. And that we honor him and will continue to do so. And I would like to take that application and that illustration to bring it down and bring it to us today in the realm of our responsibility as spiritual soldiers and warriors. And how we too can remain on the front line even under enemy fire. And how we too can be found faithful as Captain Solomon was with the army, but us with spiritual battles. And I see that in the life of Caleb. Caleb was faithful to the end. You know, Captain Solomon there was given a task and he made himself available to get the job done. And I believe that is a true characteristic of a faithful warrior of the cross. Man, whether you're a man or woman, boy or girl, if you're a faithful warrior of the cross, you are one who says, you know what, I'm going to make myself available for the cause of Christ. I'm going to make myself available and I will do whatever it takes by God's amazing grace that we sang about, and I will fulfill the task that God has given me. I hope that is our spirit, and if not, I hope it is before we leave here this morning. What made Caleb to be the faithful warrior he was? What made him? Well, I want to just suggest several things here this morning that I believe will be a help to us as we look at the life of Caleb and to see what exactly he had in his heart and what made him stand out above the rest. Well, I'll tell you a few things that it did not bother him, did not deter him. And the first one I would like to mention here is that his history did not deter him. His history did not deter him. His background, his upbringing, if you will, did not deter him. Why do you say that? Because we know from the timeline of Scripture, Caleb was born a slave. He was a slave there under the Egyptian rule, and there with the Israelites, he would grow up under slavery. And as hard as it was, and as how difficult of a time and humiliating of a time, and it was just plain awful conditions, Caleb pressed on. As a young boy, there's no telling what he witnessed as a slave, as what his parents witnessed. And his family, and those days of toiling and making bricks and being whipped and ridiculed and persecuted on day to day and seeing people murdered. That's what he witnessed. But boy, by Caleb's testimony and the power of God that we see in Scripture, it did not stop him. He was a faithful warrior. Listen to this quote about dealing with your past, dealing with your history. Man, we have a lot of people in our society that want to always blame perhaps their upbringing, or wants to blame something in their past or hang on to something in their past. And something that I believe will help anybody be a faithful warrior for the cross is realizing that, look, you can't blame your past. You can't be under your past because of something you did wrong. If it's under the blood, if God has forgiven you, my friends, you don't have to continue to allow that to hang over you. Caleb was one that did not let his history deter him. Listen to this quote. You can let your past define you, or you can let it refine you. You can let it hold you back, or you can let it push you forward. You can let it be the thing that keeps you reliving your yesterdays, or you can let it be the stepping stones for you to build a better tomorrow. That was Caleb's spirit. He didn't let his upbringing bother him, although it was awful. He believed in God. And during those times of toiling under slavery and those conditions, I can't help but think that he heard whisperings and stories about this man named Moses, who would leave Egypt and flee because of his fear, but that would one day return and deliver the people of God. I can't help but think that maybe he held on to that truth and that promise of God. And you know what? The Bible tells us that's exactly what happened. Moses came, and by God's grace, through a series of trials with Pharaoh and series of plagues, he was delivered, Caleb was, along with the rest of the children of Israel. You know, I like this quote too. God doesn't waste anything. You are not defined by your past. You are prepared by your past. Get that, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't waste anything. You are not defined by your past. You are prepared by your past. I can look in my history and you can look in your history and things good and bad God has used in your life to help mold you into the person that you are today. And my friends, that's why you can't let the past or the history deter you. You got to know that it's going to build you. And then secondly, we see here that his history did not deter him, but we also see his name did not discourage him. Now you say, now, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, just simply here, the word Caleb. Do you know what the word Caleb means in the Hebrew? It means dog. Now, I don't know if it was Caleb's dad that had a sense of humor and thought they're being in slavery, like, oh, I have a son that's been born. Well, I know that he is not going to have any blessings in this life, perhaps. I'm just suggesting. I don't know that for sure. Or, man, if he's going to live in our conditions, he's going to live like a dog, because that's the way slaves were treated, by the way. For whatever reason he did, he named his son Dog. And I'm sure that Caleb had to live with that negative connotation all the days of his life. And I'm sure it was picked on by some of his, maybe his family members, some of his friends, some of those around him, that, man, your dad named you after a dog. Now, in our society in America, we give animals and dogs specifically a little bit more honor than they did in this time. But this time they were not looked well upon, okay? They were the lowest of the low society, okay, dog. And that is what indeed his name was. But you know what? He lived through that. I heard one author say that maybe Caleb said, well, if I'm going to be called dog, I'm going to be the best dog around. And I believe that's the spirit Caleb had. He did not get discouraged because of his name. You know, there may be some people here today, and I know you do not want to admit it. You probably maybe don't even want to talk about it, but maybe you've been called some really mean things in your life. Maybe you've been ridiculed. Maybe you've been criticized. Maybe you've been bullied. Maybe you've been talked down. Maybe you've been told that you'll never amount to anything. But I want to tell you here, by the authority of God's Word, that should not discourage you, because God thinks totally different about you. And human beings can be cruel with their tongue as they criticize and as they bully other human beings and treat them almost as animals in many ways. But God, my friend, has a plan for you. And no matter what you've been called, I want to tell you what, the Lord will use you in a mighty way if you'll look to Him. As Caleb did, I'm sure, as a young man, he didn't let it discourage him. I think of Michael Phelps. When I say that name, we automatically think of the swimmer he was. He's still competing in some ways, but not like he was before. Michael Phelps, the most decorated athlete truly in Olympic history. American swimmer. He finished his career with 23 gold medals. You say, well, why are you bringing up Michael Phelps? You may not know the history there, but that young man was bullied fiercely. As a young man, he was a scrawny-looking fella, and he used to say, boy, the kids really made fun of my big ears. He said, boy, I had some big ears, and I knew it. He may think that's the secret to his swimming now. You never know. But he said they used to give him the hardest time, and he remember getting suspended from school for fighting one bully that was just, Michael Phelps was just an awkward looking kid. And he caught it from his peers and his class. They really gave it to him, but Michael Phelps pressed on. Michael Phelps didn't let name calling deter him from doing what he believed he could do. And he pressed on. And he kind of giggles about it in an interview. They were asking him about these bullies, and he said, yeah. He said, I do think about it from time to time. And they do try to approach me these days. And they try to act all kind. But the truth is, they gave me a very difficult time. Listen, I don't know what you've been called.
I don't know if you've accepted a lie. A lot of people accept lies, you know. Somebody has told something over and over and over. You almost believe it. But I want to tell you something. You are precious in the sight of Almighty God. He's got a plan for you. He will take your history. He will take your faults. He will take your weaknesses. He will take it all if you just come to Him with full surrender as Caleb did. His name did not discourage him. But then thirdly, I want to see the fact that his delay did not deflate him. His delay, you say, what about his delay? Well, from the scriptures we read here that in verse number 10, it says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake unto the word of Moses." So we know that since he was 45 years and he was 40 years at the time that they entered the land and they were beginning their wandering journeys, you know, that's a total of 45 years. That was 38 years of wandering. The wilderness wandering, can you imagine? 38 years, and here you've been given a promise. You were faithful to come back with a good report of the land, but God, because of the rebellion of many of those Israelites who said, "We can't go in that land, not with those giants, not with those walled cities, no way." But there were two that stood out. We know that they were Joshua and Caleb, but Caleb waited. They both waited. They waited on the Lord because there was 38 years of wandering, and then there was 7 years of conquest. There were 7 years of battles to fight that we see in the first account, the first part of the book of Joshua. And now we're coming to the point where dividing the land. And they were the only two of those spies that were able to enter the land. But there was a delay there. And it didn't take away his desire. It didn't deflate him. Sometimes I'm afraid we just get straight up deflated and discouraged and a lot of times disgruntled because we're having to wait. Like they used to tell us in the military, we used to get so disgruntled when we heard this, "Stand by to stand by." Or, "Hurry up and wait." You and I both have a tendency to have a difficult time with waiting, do we not? We do. We do indeed. Can I encourage you, friend? What are you waiting on? Keep holding on. God will come through. In fact, He already has. He already has come through. It's just a matter of you waiting for Him to make it known. It's for Him to make it evident. But it is for us by faith to trust that, listen, this waiting time is not wasted time. It is waiting on the Lord. And I'm thankful that Caleb was able to be a faithful warrior because he simply just said, "I'm going to wait on God." He fulfills His promise, and I'm going to wait. And look what we have here. He waited on God, and we're going to see here. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but he was just as excited as an 85-year-old as he was a 40-year-old. That only comes through God's Spirit. You just don't get that from motivational conference. You don't get that when you muster up enough strength. You get it by being wholly surrendered to God completely. We see here his delay did not deflate him, but also I want to see his enemies did not distress him. He was not distressed by the overpowering presence of the giants, of the walled cities, the sons of Anak. They were as grasshoppers in their own sight and in the sight of the giants. Grasshoppers. But yet, he looked at the face of his enemies and said, "God is able." In fact, it's pretty amazing that, in fact, hold your place there in Joshua and go over to the count with me in the book of Numbers, would you? Hold your place there in Joshua. Go over there and turn with me in the book of Numbers.
you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to look there with me in Numbers, chapter number 14. After they have come back with the report from the land of Canaan, and in Numbers 14 you have a report from the critics and the doubters, but then you're going to have a response from Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, excuse me. It says here in verse number 9, "Only rebel, they say, not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." Get this next statement. This is pretty amazing. "For they are bread for us." He says, they're going to be our bread. That simply means that God will make provisions even through these people for us. And he goes on to say there that they're going to be bread for us. And it says their defense is departed from them and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You might want to stick your place there in Numbers. We might come back to that. But you see here that he was not deterred by his enemies. Hey, listen, I'm talking to some people here. I don't know who, but you're maybe facing some enemies, some things in your life that you feel are just making you feel like grasshoppers. You're looking at it and you're looking up this direction and looking over that direction and you're looking everywhere and you sincerely feel like you are being overwhelmed by a giant that you will never be able to overcome. Can I tell you, please look to the God of Caleb and ask yourself, is the God of Caleb my God? He is, my friend, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. He is your God. And I have been challenged through the years by this question, how big is my God? Sometimes I feel like our God is very small, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we cower in fear. But our God is a great and mighty God. He's a wonderful God. He's the all-powerful one. And Joshua and Caleb, recognized that the enemies did not distress him. And then I want us to see here that his age did not detain him. His age did not detain him. Now, remember where he is in life. He and Joshua are no young bucks anymore. They're in their 80s. Some think Joshua's in his 90s, very possibly. But Caleb is 85 years old, and it is obviously not having one bit of effect upon his life when he's getting ready to obey the Lord. That's just simply fascinating to any Bible student as they look to this passage right here and see the way he's responding, even with his age. As strong as he was when he was 40, look what Caleb says. He says in verse 11, "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." The day they went and made the report. "As my strength was then," just in case you didn't get it on the first time there in verse 11, "even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Wow. Now here's a question. Is it possible that this 85-year-old man could truly still be as strong as he was when he was 40. Well, with God, all things are possible. Now, there could very well be the miracle here of his actual physical strength, but I want to say, I don't want us to lose, I believe, the true context of this. Listen, the reason I don't believe that it's primarily talking about his physical strength, which it could be, still be there, but what I believe it's primarily talking about is his spiritual strength. Why is that? Why is that I believe that? Because he was never dependent on his physical strength. He you never, as you read the Word of God and the account, you never see it where it talks about Caleb being a strong and mighty warrior in the sense of fighting so well as you hear about David. You will hear that he just wholly followed the Lord. He was had a different spirit about him, another spirit. What was that spirit? It was the Holy Spirit, and it was the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That was his strength. And do you know what this man is saying here, church? He is saying, listen, my faith in Almighty God is just as strong today as it was when I was 40 years old. And God has called me to a task, and I will submit to Him because it is not I that fights my battles. It is God Almighty who fights for us. His strength was not in his body, but his strength was his faith in Almighty God. That, my friends, is encouraging. To know that is where the strength lies. It lies right there. And what do we truly believe God can do in our lives? You know, I couldn't help but think of this story right here and give you an account of this story just to kind of give you an idea. In the physical realm, 94-year-old Harriet Thompson became the oldest woman to complete a half marathon. And it didn't take her 3 days either. It took her a little over 3 hours. Folks, that would take me 5 days. But old Harriet, she ran it in 3 hours and 42 minutes at the Rock and Roll San Diego Half Marathon on a Sunday morning, and she completed it. And the truth is, she also finished a marathon in a little over 7 hours at another date. 94 years old. Mrs. Stone? It's amazing. You know what I can say about this lady? God has blessed her for sure with the physical ability, but I tell you one thing you cannot deny is that her heart, her determination as a 94-year-old to be able to run that race. And God help us if we would make that application to our lives spiritually. Some of you, of my young at heart friends out here with us this morning, I hope to God that you never get to the point in your life where you do not feel like you can be used of God. And that goes for any of us. The Lord will use us. His age did not detain him. It was not an excuse. I've gotten too old. It's time to retire. It's time to just play shuffleboard and let all them other boys do it. Nothing wrong with shuffleboard. I'll play with you, okay? But he was past that. He said, I'm ready to war. Like when I was a 40-year-old man, I'm ready to war. In fact, our next point is this, is that he didn't let his age detain him, but his mountain, the mountain that God gave him, did not dishearten him. Look there in the Word of God in verse 12. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain. What mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day? For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Hey, he looked at that mountain, and he wasn't discouraged. He wasn't disheartened. He's 85 years old. He's like, fellas, we're here. This is what we've been waiting on. This is the promise of God. He promised me that we would have this mountain and this certain area of Hebron. That was the area that they found. And guess what just happens to be this place? And I don't think this is just incidental. I think it was by accident. Guess what was that in that place of Hebron? The Anakims. That's where the people got discouraged when they saw the giants. And Caleb wanted to go back to the very place where the rest of that crowd got discouraged and said, there they are! They're just as big as I remember them being. But God's got us. God's for us. God's leading us ahead here, and we're going to go forward by the power of God, and we are going to take this mountain, and those giants will be brought down, and they were. The Lord moved them out of there. Hey, listen, we may be facing some mountains, but I'm so thankful for faithful warriors in the past as we look spiritually at Caleb. And I believe we should draw strength this morning and say, Lord, I need to be like that. I need to not use these excuses. Even if I'm waiting, even if I've been picked on and ridiculed and said I couldn't do this, even if I did have a bad background, even if I did make some bad decisions, Lord, I'm not using any of that. I want to be faithful. And I'm going to serve you. His mountain did not dishearten him. Listen to some of these quotes. Reading over Hudson Taylor, one of my favorite missionary biographies. Listen to some of these quotes. I trust they'll be a help to you as they have been to me. Listen to this in this context of just depending upon God to overcome the mountains. Quote, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Another quote by Hudson Taylor. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. Listen to this one by Andrew Murray. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. Another one by Hudson Taylor. God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this one time, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. And my friends, you may be sitting here, you're looking at a mountain. In your mind, the things that you're going to have to overcome, some of the things you're facing, maybe something God's called you to do, maybe God's leading you, maybe God's telling you to wait. I don't know what it is, but can I assure you, God is able. But you have got to make the decision, my friends, this morning without leaving this room saying, God, I am going to depend upon You. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to surrender myself as Caleb did. He wholly followed the Lord. That's all you got to do. You don't have to go through some ritual. You don't have to go through some spiritual level. No, you just got to come to the Lord in your heart and say, dear God, I want to be a faithful warrior of You. And Lord, I'm coming to You as Caleb did and saying, I just want to be used. You know, we sang that song earlier, Turn Your Eyes. The choir did just a fantastic job. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, that's biblical. Over and over, we look in the Word of God to where God wants us to always direct our attention to Him. One verse comes to mind out of the others is this, looking unto Jesus. Who is Jesus? The author and finisher of our faith. Get it? Don't lose the meaning of this. What does He mean by the author and finisher? It means what God starts, He will bring to completion. God started a work in you, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What a promise that is! That God says, look, what I start in your life, you can count on Me, I'm faithful, and I will bring it to completion. It's just a matter of staying surrendered unto Him. Let's pray together.